Hi, I'm Sam Vokes at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show, where in the next hour we'll be building up to the fantastic Easter fixtures, bumper fixtures of two in 4 days, would you say? Yeah, I suppose so. Good Friday, which is tomorrow if you're listening live, and don't know when else you'll be listening to it, perhaps on the podcast, or perhaps just in the future sometime. Anyway, we're the day before the show, the day before the game, which is very exciting. And also, of course, that's a way to Bolton, and then on... I've really messed this up. And then... This is going to be funnier. And then on Easter Monday, home to Charlton, two of the remaining four fixtures, which are all against teams in and around Wickham Wanderers, in the table as we push for, hopefully, automatic promotion. But if not, a successful playoff campaign. It's too early to say, isn't it? All sorts of things can happen between now and then. We'll, a little later on in the show, have the return of mowing in the background of interviews, where much earlier on this morning, I was down at Adams Park for the launch of the EFL Relay, the Adams Park leg, where Mark Gateskill and a couple of colleagues from the Wickham Wanderers Foundation set off on their track from Adams Park to Vicarage Road, Watford. They might be there by now. And we were due to be catching up with Captain Jack as well, who was, along with the team, going to their team hotel in Bolton. They were due to be eating at around 6:30, and he was free to be chatting to us about 7:15. Unfortunately, traffic has played a major part in this, and they're not due to get to the team hotel until 8 o'clock. So Jack won't be joining us, unfortunately. But it's a good idea while it lasted. We'll be hearing from head coach Mike Dodds, who was at Adams Park earlier on this morning. So we'll preview the Bolton game with him and talk about the importance of the two defibrillators at the club, which were donated by Skybet earlier on today. We'll chat to, Mark Gateskill, who set off on the marathon challenge, and also Lizzie from the British Heart Foundation as well. We'll preview Wickham Wanderers women's final league game of the season this weekend, and we'll take you back to 2002. Do you remember where you were in 2002? We'll hear from Craig Falconbridge, who was at the club for 3 years after coming from Wrexham, of course. So as you can imagine, he'll be having an eye on the promotion race with them. Well, one eye on each, I'd imagine. But first, let's get our match briefing from Phil in this key Easter period of fixtures.
Well, that's the great thing about this season, I guess, is that there's been at no point has there been sort of a dull moment, is there? You know, we've been at the sharp end of the table pretty much since September, October, and have stayed there. And to be there now is what it's all about. So, yeah, four massive games to go, two of which are this weekend. So, yeah, massive point of the season and great interest.
It feels like such a busy April anyway, especially with the Huddersfield rearranged fixture too.
Yeah. Time after time, we've been talking about, you know, the fixture schedule and everything else, but with so much riding on each game, it does feel like they're all coming sort of close together. I mean, everyone plays twice over Easter, regardless. But to have so much riding on these games is just huge. And equally, our opponents do as well, which I think is definitely worth keeping in mind, because you know, Bolton have to win, I think, really, to keep their top six hopes alive. And, you know, we need to win to keep the pressure up on Wrexham. So it's a massive game in that respect. And then Monday, we've got a Charlton team who, depending on what happens on the Friday, will be either thinking, yeah, we can still get second, or then sort of keeping up their form to keep in the playoffs and maybe position themselves in a way that they would like for the playoffs. So huge games, these two, over the weekend for all the teams involved.
Really nice that all the remaining fixtures, in fact, are against teams who are, you know, not too far around where we are in the table.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people will look at the league and think, oh, that's a really tough run in. But I think it's actually better to play teams with stuff on the line, because it adds the element of jeopardy and danger into the opponent's team as well. I think it adds to the overall psyche of the game. Look, we saw last week Stevenage at Adams Park, who are as mid-table as you can get. But they were playing with a bit of a freedom in terms of that respect, and they defended brilliantly. But, you know, equally, apart from sort of personal pride and maybe individual players playing for contracts or whatever, You know, they didn't have anything riding on the game, but which meant that there was a certain relaxed nature about the way to do it. And I thought they defended, nothing relaxing about their defending, I can tell you that much, but they played really, really well. They didn't have any weight on their shoulders, and they nearly executed their game plan perfectly. So I think actually playing teams with the pressure, you know, I don't think a draw is good enough for Bolton, really, in terms of putting pressure on the top six. So I think they will attack Wickham. And I think if we look across the fixtures this season, we've done better against teams that have come out and played at us and attacked. I think it leaves more space for our forwards to do more. And I think we've seen teams in League One, if they come and play with a low block, I think teams at the top end of League One find that difficult because it's tough to break down. So I'm looking forward to hopefully an open game on Friday and a Wickham win.
Do you think that applies to all the remaining fixtures? Because as you say, so many of the teams have got so much to play for and, you know, as you say, there might be much more open games.
The Charlton one's weird. I think, you know, they'll... I think in their manager, Nathan Jones, is a real character. I think he's would want to win pretty much anything in life, regardless. But Charlton are very much involved. We don't know to the extent of their involvement until after Friday's fixture, which I think adds even more sort of interest to the weekend. That we know they're going to be in the top six, or, you know, certainly I don't think they're confirmed in the top six. But, you know, they've still got this chance of a top two. Albeit it's a big gap to have, but while it's mathematically possible, a manager of Nathan Jones' character and ability will say we will fight for that until it's no longer possible, and then it's then turning the attentions to the playoffs. So they've got lots to play for. We don't know to the extent on Monday, but whatever happens, it will be very competitive. We know that much, and we'll have to see.
And of course, you know, it's brilliant to have such a sizeable squad as well, because, you know, rotation might well be key with such a tight turnaround.
Absolutely. Look, we've got the one of the largest and best quality squads I think we've ever had in our Football League era. And we are fast approaching our record ever points total as well in our Football League era, regardless of division, which I think is a tremendous achievement for everyone involved. So I think on top of removing ourselves out of the excitement of the promotion race, I think it's definitely worth highlighting that as well, that we are on for that milestone. I think Mike has got some tough choices to make. He said that from day one, hasn't he? And he's been proven right. But, you know, these are nice headaches for him to have going into this as well. And it's about, you know, physical fitness, rest and recovery, but also mental fitness as well going into these, because like we said, these are big games. They require huge amounts of laser-like focus, and you know, we've got a fantastic squad, a great coaching setup now to put the best side out there on the day to get the points.
And of course, coming up against a team first who've been quite inconsistent themselves recently.
Yes, it's tough to call. Huge change at Bolton on Friday, for the game on Friday. You know, they changed their manager around the same time as us, although theirs was their decision. And you know, they've had some good results. They've got themselves in the mix, but been a little bit inconsistent of late. We'll see. Aaron Morley, sadly, has posted that his season is over. He got injured in the last match. So Wickham fans won't be seeing him playing against them, which, given his form for Wickham in the first half of the season, is a relief. But we wish Aaron all the very best in his recovery. And I think also as well, thank you for his efforts for what he did for Wickham in the first half of the season. Look, Chris Farino has been playing regularly. A player that we know well as well. But in defence, scored a goal the other week as well against Wigan. But look, like I said earlier on, this is a huge game for Bolton as well in terms of throwing everything at it to keep their season alive in terms of going for the top six. So I'm expecting them to come out all guns blazing. It'll be a big crowd as well. A holiday weekend. Bolton always get big fixtures and big crowds. So we'll see. Wickham can hopefully do their bit and silence the home fans and get the away end rocking.
Of course, many supporters, I guess, disappointed that Wickham currently not occupying that second automatic promotion place, but still to be third in the table at this stage in the season is a pretty decent achievement.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, 1 point outside with a better goal difference with four games to go and we say this a lot as well, don't we? But if you'd been offered that at the beginning of August, I think we'd have all taken that, definitely. And like I said just now, we're approaching our highest ever points total in a league season in the Football League. And to do that in League One is excellent. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's all to play for. And we're chasing down Wrexham. They've got some tough games as well. And they will be feeling the pressure, hopefully. But it's great to be involved in this exciting race.
And something else which comes across so well is the togetherness throughout the team as well.
Yes. Yeah, I think, you know, Wickham have built this, whatever they've achieved in the last 10, 15 years, certainly, has been built on that incredible sort of team unity and togetherness, and Mike Dodds has continued that, which is excellent to see. And you know, it's about having a good mixture, and Wickham have that. They've got real experience in the squad: Jack Grimmer, Sam Vokes, Gareth McCleary, Josh Goen, Luke Leahy, players that have been around, been there, done it, know what it's like to achieve and get on and up in the leagues and win promotions, etc. And then you've got the raw and exciting talent who are experiencing this for the first time, which is fantastic for them. And what better way to do it? But, you know, the older heads will enjoy the energy and the enthusiasm and, dare I say, sort of, you know, not naivety, but that kind of, you know, fearlessness of the youngsters. If you combine that with the experience and the know-how and the leadership qualities of the senior players, I think it's a really good blend. And I think we're perfectly set. And I'm really hopeful that this group can go on to achieve something, not just in terms of a points total, but actually in terms of achieving something, be it automatic promotion or through the playoffs.
You must personally be really looking forward to the amount of service stations that you can stop off at, both on the way to Bolton and on the way back.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, been quite a weird season in terms of services, because you know we've highlighted a lot down the years some of these extraordinary levels of tat and weird stuff you can buy in services, and it's almost like they've been watching, because it's becoming less and less frequent now, you know, that to see weird and wonderful things. There may be a reason for that. I'm not sure that we've contributed to that at all, but it's made services a slightly duller place, admittedly, but there we are. But, yeah, I mean, we mentioned Ronan Keating last week. I'd imagine a Ronan Keating greatest hits would be a sort of a staple of an M6 service station. And I'll keep an eye out for one for you this weekend.
Please do. I don't often ask you this, but I thought it'd be quite nice for a change. Can we get a score prediction?
Oh, God. I'm famously absolutely useless at score predictions. So, yeah, you put me on the spot now. Wickham have been incredibly frugal of late at the back, which is great. But because of the open nature of this game, I'm going to suggest a 3-1 victory to Wickham Wanderers.
Oh, many thanks. It'll be a fantastic game on Good Friday. And enjoy the game on Monday as well. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Thank you, Colin.
Always a pleasure chatting to Phil. You never know what'll crop up in terms of discussion. I'm sure from service stations previously we've discussed things like wooden ducks. Was it ducks? Something was, anyway, and wetsuits as well. All sorts of things. And as it seems, Ronan Keating greatest hits might be in the offing as well. That'd be excellent if he can source one of those for next week. Phil will be bringing us, traffic permitting, live commentary from Bolton on Good Friday, kickoffs at 3 o'clock. You can hear that live commentary here on Wickham Sound and, of course, on Wanderers TV. Do check out Ringing the Blues and, of course, Pre-Match Drills 2. Sounds like the sequel, doesn't it? Pre-Match Drills 2, not as good as the original. But, lots more on Wanderers TV as well, including and more great chats with head coach Mike Dodds, who you'll hear from later on in this show as well. But first, the return of the notice board section of the show, which has been lacking for a while, hasn't it? But plenty more club news to bring you, including Richard Kone being shortlisted for the Sky Bet League One Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year awards at the end of an outstanding first full season in professional football. The Chairboy striker has scored 18 league goals so far and earned his place amongst the final three for both categories, with the winner to be revealed at the league's annual ceremony in London on Sunday the 27th of April, which is also being broadcast live on Sky Sports Football from 8:30, if you are able to follow that. He faces competition from Birmingham City's Tomoki Iwata and Barnsley's Davis Kyler Dunn for the Player of the Year prize, and from Louis Barry, of course, who was at Stockport, now at Hull City, and Tyler Bindon from Reading as well in the Young Player of the Year title. There are plenty of categories, as you can imagine, including Manager of the Season, which for League One is, as I'm sure you can probably realise, are the bosses of Birmingham City, Charlton, Wrexham and Leyton Orient. And some other categories to let you know about, which are also in on the night, include the League One Apprentice of the Season, and also, of course, Championship and League Two. Community Club of the Season, for which Norwich, Rotherham and Fleetwood are shortlisted. There's Community Project of the Season as well, some really worthy causes there. The AFL Player in the Community, we've got Doncaster, Norwich and Bristol Rovers players shortlisted there. The EFL's Diversity Award, Green Club Award and also Fan Engagement Award, Employee Award, the Sir Tom Finney Award, which will be announced on the night, and these other categories will all be announced on the night as well. Team of the Season in the Championship, League One and League Two, and also Goal of the Season, which you might well have some thoughts on as well. So keep your eyes out for ideally, if you can use both, that'd be excellent. For that, as I say, on the 27th of April, we'll be bringing you the results of that on this show too, of course. But yeah, as mentioned, you can follow it on Sky Indeed. And for other award news, voting is now open for the 2024-25 Supporters Player of the Season Award. You can choose your player from the Wycombe Wanderers list, and only those with 10 or more league appearances are available. So well worth checking out that. I can refer you to the Wycombe Wanderers website where there's a drop-down menu. I won't read out the whole squad list, but yes, there's plenty available there, including, you might want to pick out your favourites, players like Joe Lowe, Dan Uno, Luke Leahy, Xavier Simons, of course, Josh Scoen, Dan Harvey, Aaron Morley, of course, who we mentioned a little earlier on, who's unfortunately had to curtail his season, but he played a great part for the Chairboys earlier in the season. Fred Onyedimna, and yes, there's a whole list. I won't read them all, but yes, you'll get the idea. And you can vote for your Supporters Player of the Season that way. More from the notice board later in the show here at Wickham Sound.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Previously on the Rob Lesperance Radio Show.
Okay, Saturday afternoon, what are we, 26 minutes after 12?
Oh, I got a text.
This is from Rutters, Paul Rutland, friend of mine. So everyone say good afternoon to Paul, please.
Hello,
afternoon,
Paul.
Afternoon.
It's his birthday party tonight.
Oh.
Anyway, he says they're looking forward to it. Should be a surprise, but I've just realised it might have been. Actually, now I start to talk about it. Oh, my God. No, I think it actually is a surprise party.
Rob, you've got a shade of red.
Oh, my God, have I given it away? Right, OK. If anyone knows him, don't say a word. Goodness me.
Great clip, though, for the Radio Awards.
Do you know what? Oh, my, it's actually his birthday party. I think it's a surprise party. Oh, I'm so sorry if I've given it away.
The Rob Lesperance Radio Show.
Well, there's someone's invitation being ripped up as we speak.
Saturdays from 12 on Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show. Thursdays from 7.
Part two of this week's Wycombe Wanderers show still to come. In the remainder of the hour, we'll be finding out about Sky Bet EFL's Every Minute Matters relay, which came to Adams Park earlier on this morning, and hopefully the team have probably arrived at Vicarage Road by now, you'd imagine. Well, they might have stopped off for a lengthy lunch. not sure, but raising awareness and paying tribute to Adam Ankers as well. More on that. Brilliant chat to JDT last week on the show, of course, the outgoing vice chair of the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association. This week on the show, we're chatting to Craig Falconbridge. You may remember, came to the club in 2002 from Wrexham. So as you can appreciate, has a foot in both camps, I guess you'd say, for the recent and current promotion chase.
It's been a bit of a seesaw, hasn't it, over the past couple of months. It's been Wrexham, then Wycombe, then Wycombe, then Wrexham. It's been quite interesting to follow. And it's kind of taken the shine off, really, a little bit of what Birmingham's achieved, with it being quite tight for second and third, respectively.
And I guess as well, really interesting for yourself, how Wrexham have changed, obviously, so much since you were there.
Yeah, I mean, crikey, they're barely recognisable. I mean, they're still lovely. From what I can understand, they're still a lovely family-orientated club. I just think it's gone very commercial, very sort of Hollywood, as it's been called, isn't it? So it's very different to what I remember. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like there in the training ground and amongst the players. But I can, with like anything, when anything develops and gets bigger, things naturally have to change and evolve.
I guess in a way, similar to Wycombe, because Wrexham, obviously, they lost their league status, didn't they? And then they came back, and now they're doing so well, obviously, since the Hollywood takeover, as you say.
Yeah, I mean, some of the ex-players that I played with at the time when they were in the league sort of went through that period of going down into the National League, and then obviously then have probably enjoyed the journey back up again, which has obviously been relatively steep since the two American owners came in. But it takes nothing away from the fact you still have to go and win games of football, and you still have to go and win leagues. So it is a fantastic achievement that they've had over there.
And fascinating for yourself as well, I guess, to observe Wycombe's progress as well.
Yeah, I mean, crikey, finishing my career at Wycombe as sort of sudden as it was, it's been nice to sort of see them continue their momentum, even though I was a close colleague with Matt Bloomfield when I was there, and watching how he's done, taking over from Gareth Ainsworth, and just keeping that nice style of football and keeping the momentum. And it's also, like I said, it's nice that they haven't fallen away after he's left, and they're still right there in the hunt for that automatic promotion place.
No, absolutely. What would you say is your kind of earliest memory of your time at the club?
Well, earliest memory, obviously, joining when in the Sanchez era. Again, just being felt made to feel really welcome. And sort of, because each time I've joined a football club, I've managed to get off on the scoring pretty much right from the first game. So it happened at Wrexham. I scored on my debut, and I did the same for Wycombe. So I scored against Notts County away on my debut, and that's kind of the earliest memory that I've got playing for the club was that game we played away.
Must have been such an interesting time to be arriving as well off the back of that FA Cup run.
I mean that was interesting because I mean obviously being at Wrexham and leaving them for Wycombe, it was interesting watching how that sort of came about, because the centre forward that they got in obviously did a phenomenal job of getting them to that famous game against Liverpool. But I just think the way in which I was introduced and got into the club, I mean Laurie Sanchez had been after me for a couple of seasons, and it was kind of a bit of cat and mouse, and then obviously I got to 24 and was able to leave without any fee needing to be paid, so I was able to go relatively easy then at the end of the season to Wycombe.
And scoring on your debut is obviously a dream start, really.
It was, quite the first sort of, I think it was the first five or six games, maybe six or seven games, I was kind of in and around the goals right away. I was up the top of the charts for League One at the time. And I think it was kind of like a fairy tale start to it. But then I got sort of these niggling problems with my knee, and it kind of curtailed my good start. And obviously then the rest is history, really, which is a bit of a shame.
Of course, it's easy to say, isn't it, that injuries must be frustrating, but as the player suffering them, it must really kind of hold you back, and you must have to be so kind of strong mentally as well.
Yeah, I mean, crikey, I went through one injury, so I was sort of fought to come back. It took me about 12, 14 months to come back, and then I got the same injury in my other knee, and understood it was going to be a similar time frame that I was going to be out. And yeah, I mean that tested me. That really tested me. That period of time, and it kind of set up what I've gone into later on in my career, sort of helping and guiding youngsters through, you know, that mindset and being really strong and resilient when you're faced with some tough times and tough challenges.
No, of course. Must be a really interesting time as well to be at the club when Tony Adams came in, and especially in the dressing room after, you know, having been used to playing under Laurie, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean that was a difficult period because, you know, it was unfair to Tony Adams, I think, because he came in, you know, not really having a lot of experience as a manager, and he was kind of facing a real sort of task of sort of capturing this team and helping sort of build and grow. I think his expectations were a lot higher than what the team were currently able to produce. And I was coming back from injury, and because I was sort of not a player that was playing, I think it was quite difficult for him to see me as an asset and more of a liability in terms of trying to find a way to get me back into the team. It wasn't until John Gorman came in after Tony Adams where I kind of felt a little bit of the pressure coming off and a bit more support and guidance to get myself back playing.
And obviously relegation really disappointing, but I guess in a way that was quite a good time as well, because that kind of rebuilding process, you know, it seemed to serve the team well.
It did. I mean, like I said, I never wish anyone to go through a relegation, and I've been through a couple. But what it does do is you find yourself in a position where you have to start. Like you just said, you have to rebuild. You have to sort of look at where you want to go and how you want to do things, and not just expect to be able to get back into where you were. And I think that was the challenge, I think, is the expectation to start with. But then, you know, the regrowth of it, as it's proven in the past sort of 10 years, it's been quite stable and able to sort of push around those I-League 1 championship sort of status, which is quite nice for the club.
No, absolutely. And how did you find the sort of switch in positions? Because obviously you played in defence, but also attack as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, looking back and sort of reflecting on my career, I think I would have been a better centre back in terms of how I played, just because I was pretty good in the air. I was quite physical in that sense, and you know, I quite like being on the ball and playing. So I think if I'd have made that decision a bit earlier in my career, things might have been different, but you never know.
No, of course. And overall, how do you look back at your time at the club?
Fondly. You know, I'm still well received there. There's, you know, obviously the backroom staff, you know, the media and all that, that's all changed, and there's a lot of new people, but there was still one or two from my when I was there. And obviously Matt Bloomfield, when I went and saw him a couple of months ago, that was quite nice. But yeah, it still has that nice feeling of being that club that looks after its players and its ex-players, and it's quite nice to have the odd phone call here and there sometimes just to be reminded that you are still around and things are all good.
No, absolutely, and fantastic as well that so many players that you played with went on to manage and coach as well. Did that sort of occur to you at the time? Did you look at people like, you know, Matt Bloomfield and Russell Martin and think, oh yeah, there'll be players who will go on to manage and coach?
No, not at all. I mean, there were positive players. There were good lads. They were good within the team. I think they've grown into those roles, and it's kind of been a natural, you know, evolution from playing to management. And you can see why and how they've done it based on how they sort of played and how sustainable they were in their careers, especially like, you know, Matt and Russell, as you've mentioned. Both of them have gone on to have really good sort of managerial and coaching careers. I'm sure Russell will be back in the game, you know, relatively soon, because, you know, he's got some really good qualities and he's such a fantastic leader.
And you managed locally yourself as well at Aylesbury and at a team. How did you find that?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, I think most of, you know, I was looking to go down that road. But when you start a family, it kind of takes, your priorities have to switch a little bit. So, you know, I'll put a pin in that for now. And then we'll see where it goes when the boys are a little bit older.
Course. Does it feel like a long time ago that you're at the club? Because obviously it's only 2002, which doesn't seem that long ago, but on the other hand, it was over 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you, when you think about it in years, it's quite a while, quite a long time ago. But in reality, just by the way that the club hasn't massively changed in terms of the infrastructure down at Adams Park, it hasn't changed a lot there since I was there. So it's just like walking in there yesterday. You know, the ground's still the same, the pitch is still the same. You know, the friendly faces around there are still the same. So, you know, even if it's, you know, 20 years, 30 years, you still can get that same feeling. I'm sure other players have had the same nostalgic feelings when they've gone back there.
Yeah, of course. And are there any sort of particular games or occasions that really stand out during your years there?
I mean, we played against Chelsea one pre-season. That was a really good game. You know, Gianfranco Zola and Marcel Desailly played in that game. That was a good fixture to play in. I remember playing a game against Wrexham. We went up to Wrexham and I got booed, which was an interesting experience going back to there and having that. But, you know, that's to be expected. But, yeah, there's a number. I mean, playing against QPR a couple of times and scoring against them, there's a few occasions where it's been nice experiences. The sad thing is, and the reality was, I didn't play enough because of my injuries. And when you look at it, it was kind of an underachieving time at the club, just based on circumstances.
No, absolutely. But fantastic that you're still in touch with, you know, a number of your ex-teammates from the time, and nice that you can still follow the club being, you know, still local as well.
It is, yeah. I mean, I'm always invited down there. And the sad thing is I work on Saturdays and coach still, so it's hard to get down to Adams Park and take the games in. I do sort of say I must come down there a bit more often and take the games in. I mean, the last time we were down there, the whole family came down, my wife and my mother and father-in-law and my boys and everyone. We all came down and enjoyed a 2-1 victory or a 1-0 victory against Crawley at home, which was really nice. That was I can't remember exactly when it was. It wasn't long ago, about 3 months ago.
Oh, fantastic! And do you really enjoy sort of what you're doing now? You touched on that you're working with, you know, I guess the sort of mental side of the game with the hypnotherapy, but also with your academy as well.
Yeah, I mean, I combine everything. You know, my work now is more universal than just coaching. You know, the mindset and mental approach to everything. You know, you can take that into life, and a lot of my coaching during the week isn't just specifically around football. It's around sort of life coaching and people being stuck or wanting to find solutions for problems they've got, and just trying to change the aspect and perspective that they currently find themselves in.
Is that really rewarding as well, that you can kind of pass on from your own experience, you know, what you've learned to others who might be in similar situations?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's probably the most rewarding part of what I do right now is making a difference, making a change to somebody who doesn't currently have the wherewithal to make decisions or remove blocks in their life, and just finding the help and guidance that I provide useful and able to sort of try and live a relatively normal or flourish life.
And you mentioned your family as well. Do you hope your sons will be following in your bootsteps?
Yeah, I've got two sons. Third was my wife's son from a previous relationship. But it's, yeah, all three of them are doing well. The eldest is a painter and decorator, but my youngest two, Archie, he's whatever he puts his mind to, he's brilliant. You know, whatever he wants to do, football, cricket, basketball, fishing, all those types of things, he loves all that. So he's really settled in that. He's got a really nice way about him. And Harley, my middle son, he's currently at Chelsea in the under-13s. He's trialling for the academy. So in the next couple of weeks, maybe month, we'll find out whether he'll become a full academy player at Chelsea, which is amazing.
No, absolutely. And just to kind of touch on sort of where we started, really, how do you sort of favour, you know, I guess you'll be happy either way with if Wrexham go up and if Wickham, I guess ideally you'd like them both to.
Yeah, I was speaking the other day. Again, it's one of those things where you find yourself not really wanting either of them to fail. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I spend the same amount of time at Wrexham as I did at Wickham, and whoever goes up will thoroughly deserve it based on the duration of the season. But it'd be nice if one went up automatically and the other one went up through the playoffs. Because then that's what they deserve. They're both like second and third, respectively, and they both deserve to be in those positions. So it would only be right if both of them went up.
No, well, fingers crossed. And I guess as well, it'd be really interesting to get your thoughts as well, because speaking to sort of current players as well, and you hear, you know, pundits saying about this kind of nervy end of the season. Is that something that you felt at this stage of the campaign when you played?
Not really. I think it comes with the territory. I think each game, you know, you kind of look at it as an individual. You don't look at where you are, what you're doing. If you do that, you do get yourself into a bit of trouble, I think, with your mind and your nerves and anxiety and things. But if you just take it one thing at a time, one game at a time, it becomes the same outcome, the same preparation, and you kind of approach it in the same way. It, you know, the minute you start taking your eye off that, that's when you get yourself into a bit of trouble.
Well, it's a very good message to players and people generally, I think. It's been brilliant to catch up with you again. Thank you so much for your time, and fantastic to share your memories, and happy birthday for Sunday.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I'll keep a keen eye on the games this weekend.
Oh, it's been fantastic to speak to you. Thank you so much.
No worries at all. Thanks, Colin.
Real pleasure chatting to Craig Falconbridge a little earlier on today. He celebrates his 47th birthday. Hope you weren't wrong with saying that. No, 48th. He's 47 now. I think on Sunday. I might have got that wrong. Anyway, 20th of April is his birthday. Still live locally as well in China. Big thanks, as always, to the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Player Association. More from them on next week's show as well. A quick more news from the club. I know we're only supposed to take a game at a time, but on Easter Monday, the club are pleased to support the initiative led by the 1887 fan group, which are encouraging supporters to paint the park blue for that Easter Monday fixture with the visit of Charlton Athletic to Adams Park. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. The appeal is simple: just wear as much blue as possible at the game to show your support. The 1887 are working on a series of initiatives to engage supporters for the final home games. So there's two still to come at Adams Park. A final game of the season against Stockport, of course. There might be more with the playoffs. And also encourage fans to submit ideas into their social media platforms. You can find them at the 1887 WWFC on X and at @terrace_1887 on Instagram as well. Wycombe Wanderers Supporters Trust will be again offering free face painting at their gazebo close to the Caledonian Suite ahead of the game. Check out the Wycombe Wanderers website for more details, and Wanderers TV as well in the build-up to that Charlton game. Final part of the Wycombe Wanderers show for this week's on the way.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
We could use this time to tell you that 89% of the UK population tunes into the radio every week, and every £1 spent on radio advertising delivers twice the audience of any other medium.
Or we could fill this spot with your advert. Wycombe Sound has a range of bespoke packages tailored to suit your budget and options to either create or send us your advert, plus a 10-minute interview to plug your company.
For more information, go to wycombesound.org.uk or give us a call on 01494 44900.
Advertising with Wycombe Sound has never been easier.
We've teamed up with Wycombe Swan to give you the chance to take the family to see Horrible Histories at the theatre this summer. There's a set of four tickets up for grabs to any of the shows, either Terrible Tudors or Awful Egyptians, that are on between Thursday the 26th and Sunday the 29th of June. To be in the draw, just tell us the name of Henry VIII's second wife. Was it A, Catherine Howard, B, Anne Boleyn, or C, Anne of Cleves? You can email your answer to win@wycombesound.org.uk via Facebook, X, or Instagram, where we are at Wycombe Sound, or send a WhatsApp message to 01494 44900. You've got until midnight on Easter Monday to enter, and we'll announce the winner on the next day's mid-morning after 10. Terms and conditions can be found on our website. Good luck!
Saturdays on Wycombe Sound, the Coffee Lounge.
It's Saturday morning, this is Wycombe Sound, it's just gone 10 o'clock. Fancy a coffee?
Tea please, white nor sugar.
Coffee please, black with one.
Coffee in the morning.
Black coffee, one sugar.
Tea, coffee, no sugar in each, but nice and strong.
Tea in the afternoon, and none of your fancy tea, just a good old cup of British English Builder's tea.
Cappuccino please.
Tea, just a splash of milk, three sweeteners, and I like it to be the colour of an HMRC envelope.
The Coffee Lounge, the best hot beverage-based show on a Saturday morning on Wycombe Sound. Well, apart from breakfast, obviously.
Just give me a hot cup of coffee and a good book in my hand. Let me stay right here.
The Coffee Lounge on Wycombe Sound. The Wycombe Wanderers Show. Thursdays from 7.
Final part of this week's Wickham Wanderer show still to come. We'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds, who's previewing the trip to Bolton. I wonder if the team have got there yet. They're playing tomorrow afternoon at 3. We'll also hear him talking about the club's support for the Every Minute Matters campaign run by Sky Bet and the EFL. Their Adams Park leg of the EFL relay was launched this morning. We'll catch up with Mark Gateskill in a few moments' time and Lizzie from the British Heart Foundation as well. But first, each week on the show throughout the season of the Chair Girls, we've been following Wickham Wanderers women's progress. This weekend sees their final match, their final league game of the season in the Southern Region Women's Football League Premier Division. If you've been following the Chair Girls, they've been battling for promotion alongside Ascot. And Ascot still without a defeat in the league this season. From 17 games, they've got 49 points and look destined for promotion. Wickham still battling for the second spot. They too have played 17 games, have got 39 points, so 10 points off the top. Their nearest rivals, Porchester, just 2 points behind and do have a game in hand as well. But Wickham Wanderers have their last league game against fourth place Oxford City away on Sunday. Kickoff is at 2 o'clock. And make sure you don't miss the show next week because we'll have more from Wickham Wanderers women as well as we look back on their season and how well things have gone for them. Now, though, let's turn our attention to an event which came to Adams Park this morning. It was an early start at 8 o'clock, to be precise, although the full event was launched at 9 o'clock, and it was a brilliant opportunity for the Wickham Wanderers Foundation staff to walk a marathon between Adams Park and Vicarage Road in Watford in memory of 17-year-old Adam Ankers, a young player and supporter who tragically passed away after suffering a cardiac arrest last year whilst playing football. The ground played host to the Every Minute Matters relay, as mentioned, and there were three Foundation members, including Mark Gateskill, who set off this morning, and I was very pleased to catch up with him ahead of the start of the challenge.
Good to see you, Colin. Good morning. A bit earlier than normal. We're just going for a nice long walk. So myself and two of my colleagues from the Foundation, Charlie and Ashley, we are taking part in the Sky Bet EFL Every Minute Matters relay. It's a national event that has been happening from football stadium to football stadium, not to raise sponsorship money or funds, but to raise awareness of the importance of CPR and trying to encourage as many fans as possible to learn that life skill, which you can do through a tool called Reviver, and it takes just 15 minutes, and that 15 minutes really could save a life.
It's a fantastic message, isn't it? And brilliant as we've spoken before, how football can be a great vehicle for this sort of thing.
Yeah, look, we both know, we've talked football's reach and power to unite people, bring people together, to communicate, to educate is really significant. And this is a really important message to push out to our community and our fan base and nationally, right? And look, the event, I think, was targeting 270,000 people to learn CPR. Just over the halfway point of the event, they'd already hit 300,000. So huge success, but we want to make it even bigger.
And of course, it's really close to the club and the foundation, of course.
Yeah, look, extremely poignant for us here at Wickham Wanderers is just over 12 months ago, we lost a young player by the name of Adam Ankers, just a 17-year-old lad, fit, healthy, played in our foundation football programme at Henley College. And sadly, we lost him to a cardiac arrest. So, you know, and I was just chatting to someone earlier that I think growing up you associated cardiac arrests or heart attacks as something that happened when you're old, right? And then it started happening to elite athletes and footballers and is more common, and you know, look at Adam who was just 17 years old, fit, healthy. So, you know, I think anything we can do to try and mitigate those risks and reduce the risk factors, but also to be equipped for should that awful situation happen, that we are qualified and trained and have the tools and the resources such as defibrillators that can save lives.
Fantastic to have that equipment here as well.
Yeah, look, really good. We've been trying to raise some funds to buy some defibrillators. They're understandably not cheap, but Skybet, who are part of this event, have funded and provided two new defibs for us. So we've just had one put up at the stadium here, just outside underneath the Adams Park sign, and another one that's going to be a mobile defib that we'll take to the various different programmes and projects that we run in High Wycombe and beyond.
We should talk about the walk itself. How are you feeling about the walk?
Look, I mean, couldn't have asked for better weather, which is nice. So we're walking in bright blue skies and sunshine. So I think it's going to be great. It's 37 kilometres the distance, but there's nothing impressive about a nearly marathon. So we've asked them to add an extra 5. So we're doing the full marathon. So it's 42 kilometres. No idea where it's taking us because the route's been done for us. But maybe we'll be walking up some nice busy roads and maybe a bit of countryside, maybe some nice hills, I don't know, or a bit of everything.
On the M25.
Yeah, I hope not. We've got a bright enough shirt, so hopefully we won't get mowed down.
But of course, the reason you're doing it, you'll keep your spirits high throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're walking in honour of Adam. You know, it's nicely symbolic that this is just after a year since we lost Adam. The message, the objective of this event really sits really nicely with that, and for us to be able to walk in Adam's honour and continue his legacy is really important to us.
And what do you hope the MSU sort of fans especially take away from this event?
Look, I hope that fans will just get involved and check out the Reviver Tool app and commit just 15 minutes. We can all commit 15 minutes, it's not very much. And what you could gain and what you could give to someone else through that 15 minutes is life-saving.
Thank you very much for your time. All the best for the challenge.
Thanks, Colin.
Real pleasure chatting to Mark Gaitskill earlier on this morning. As you mentioned, it was very early. And I can bring you some breaking news as well. The club have just posted on social media that they've made it. Well done to Mark, Charlie and Ashley as well. The club say they're also proud of the trio. It's an incredible achievement to have walked that marathon course from Adams Park to Vicarage Road in Watford, and they have now arrived, which is fantastic news. And Matt Cecil from the club earlier on this morning joked that we'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds in a short time, but he and the team off to Bolton. But he joked that they get to Bolton before Mark and his team got to Watford. But that hasn't quite panned out due to traffic on the way to Bolton. Let's tell you a bit more about the initiative, though. The Sky Bet EFL Every Minute Matters Relay. It kicked off on the 25th of March and is a gruelling 4,000-kilometre 28-day journey, which is featuring an incredible 72-leg stage calling in at each of the EFL clubs. You might know and you might have seen on social media that a Reading fan arrived at Adams Park yesterday as part of a sponsored cycle as well, or AA cycle. It culminates in Wembley, or at Wembley, I should say, on Easter Monday. There are some big name football icons and celebrities who are involved in the nationwide relay, including Big Sam Allardyce, Jack Wilshere, Graeme Souness, who've spoken to on the show, Luton captain Tom Lockyer, who of course experienced a cardiac arrest in the playoff final, Glenn Hoddle, Dion Dublin, Troy Deeney, Ellis James, Robert Lindsay and Sir Tony Robinson as well. They've all been giving that's better. They're backing to the campaign, and was very pleased to chat a little earlier on to Lizzie Mascardini, who's from the British Heart Foundation.
We want as many people as possible to get involved and learn CPR, and we know that there's a lot of people in sports that want to learn how to do this. We've seen a lot of different incidences recently in the last few years, and we just want to make sure that as many people as possible know what to do in that situation. The cardiac arrest is an ultimate medical emergency, so it's really important that people know what to do and know how to act in that situation too. So we want as many people as possible to learn CPR.
And brilliant that there's two defibrillators are now here.
Absolutely. So that's really great. And obviously it's honouring Adam's legacy as well, which is really important and really special. And we're glad to be a part of that. And obviously it's also really important that people know how to use a defibrillator as well. And that's why we've developed Reviver, which is our free training tool. And that teaches people how to do CPR, but also how to use a defibrillator. We want as many people as possible to know what to do in that situation. So if they know how to, you know, use a defibrillator, they know where their nearest one is, that's obviously really important and helps give people the best chance of survival.
Do you find there are many misconceptions around CPR?
Yeah, there are. A lot of people are worried that they're going to hurt someone and they don't want to get involved because of that fear. But actually, it's better to do something than nothing, because if you break someone's ribs, that probably will happen, but people can recover from broken ribs and a punctured lung. But, you know, a cardiac arrest is the ultimate medical emergency, and you unfortunately won't survive if you don't have any intervention. So we just need people to get involved and do CPR and get their nearest defibrillator as well.
Because I imagine, as you say, there are people who perhaps only know partly what to do or wouldn't feel confident to actually do it in a situation.
Yeah, it is. And I think it is the confidence, and that's why we want to make this as accessible as possible. So Reviver is our 15-minute tool. You know, that's the time it takes, you know, just to have a little coffee break. So you can get your phone and just a cushion at home and you can practice. It's all free, it's all online, and the Reviver tool will take you through those different steps. So it'll teach you how to recognise a cardiac arrest. It'll teach you what will happen when you call 999, which I think people are also a little bit scared of as well. Then how to perform the compressions, which you'll practice on your cushion, and then also how to use a defibrillator. So hopefully that gives everyone the full steps and the whole package that they need to know what to do in the event of a cardiac arrest.
And what do you hope people take away from this EFL relay especially?
Yeah, I hope it raises a lot more awareness around what people need to do, but I also hope as well like a lot more people get involved and learn how to do CPR and how to use the defibrillator as well off the back of it. So we're really pleased to be involved. It's really great.
Remind us where we can find out more.
So if you search BHF Reviver or search Learn CPR, and you'll go to the BHF website and you'll be able to find everything there.
Real pleasure chatting to Lizzie from the charity British Heart Foundation. And you might have heard there the return of mowing in the background of interviews. If you've ever wondered what happens at Adams Park at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday, they're mowing the pitch. There, now you know. Exclusive, behind-the-scenes news on the Wycombe Wanderers show, grass cutting at Adams Park. We also caught up with head coach Mike Dodds. You'll notice a lack of mowing in the background here. We were fortunate enough to chat to him in the media room after I had to duck to go down the tunnel. But brilliant to get his thoughts on the game ahead and the Easter period and the remaining games, indeed, of the season. But first, of course, he was very pleased to lend his support and send off the trio on the challenge this morning.
Speaking to the guys from the foundation, obviously, you know, for something that's so tragic to Adam and Adam's family, hopefully some positive comes from it in terms of obviously Sky Bet donating the defibrillators and the guys doing obviously the walk to Vicarage Road, which obviously raises even more awareness to the cause. So yeah, you know, when the club asked me to be a part of it was something that I didn't think twice about.
And obviously there's that link with Adam to the club, and supporters can really benefit from their defibrillators too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's obviously it's something that's obviously tragic that's happened to Adam's family. And I think what it does do is just show that his kind of legacy, and he's obviously really highly thought of within the foundation, and that he's not forgotten about. So, yeah, and obviously we had something recently, didn't we, against the Wrexham game. So it's something that we all need to be aware of, and it's something that we all need to be really respectful of. And hopefully with things like this, you know, with defibrillators and raising awareness around these situations, hopefully we can stop or try and prevent or try and help when these situations arise.
Another great example too of how the club really comes together.
Yeah, and I've said this 1,000 times, sound like a broken record. You know, when I joined the football club, the common theme from people that I rang and I asked about the club, they said it was, you know, an incredible family-run football club, and there's a real close-knit community here, and this just kind of encapsulates that.
And we're speaking to you, obviously, on the eve of it always feels like when we speak to you, it's an important run of games, but this Easter, obviously, with the two games so close together as well, are you and the team sort of really confident into what's ahead?
Yeah, definitely. I think Easter weekend's always difficult for every club, you know, in not just in League One, but the whole of the EFL, because you have such a quick turnaround of games, and, you know, Easter weekend always throws up one or two surprising results. You know, our preparation, our thoughts are around being really positive around the two games. Obviously, our focus is on Friday and hopefully getting a really positive result at Bolton, and then hopefully finishing the weekend off with another 3 points here against Charlton. But look, we know the importance of the next four games. You know, it's not just been the next four games. It's been the games prior. We know the importance of all the games. So we know what we need to do. We know we're in a good spot. You know, the group's really, really confident. And as always, we'll give 100% to make sure that we come away with 3 points.
Does it feel like there's any extra sort of pressure or perhaps nerves amongst the team, especially at this stage of the season?
Not really, no. I think I said it a few weeks ago. I can't remember which game it was after. I felt there was a nervousness in one of the games here at Adams Park, and we spoke a lot at the training ground with the players around changing the narrative a little bit and trying to enjoy this pressure, if you want to call it pressure. But they've worked so hard to get themselves into such a wonderful position, and as I said, I think we're in a really good spot in terms of the way we've been performing. The games are really, really tight, which they always are, based on my experience with previous campaigns where you're trying to achieve something amazing. You know, the games are always really, really tight. So that's going to be no different for the next four games. And like I said, you know, there's going to be plenty of twists and turns still to come for the next little period. And we've just got to focus on ourselves.
And I know you spoke to the clubs media earlier in the week, highlighting the fact that Bolton, again, another of those teams who have perhaps not got the results that their performances have deserved.
Definitely. Having watched their games, I think some of their performances have been really, really strong. And, you know, you talk about pressure, there'll be an element of pressure on them because, obviously, they'll need to get a positive result. But it's that time of the season where we have to enjoy the next four games. We have to enjoy the expectation that comes with us trying to get promoted. So, Bolton are a good team, Charlton are a good team. The remaining four games are really, really tough. But as I keep saying, they'll be watching us and knowing that we're a really, really good team as well. So, you know, it's, you know, they'll be looking at us knowing that they're going to have to, all the teams that play against us, they're going to have to be, you know, right at it to get anything from us.
And does it feel especially exciting at this stage of the season because there's so much to play for?
Yeah, definitely. And we're quietly confident. I've said all along that I believe in the group, I believe what we're trying to do. As I said, the games are always tight at this time of the season because there's so much to play for, whether you're down the bottom or up the top. And, you know, because of that, teams don't want to take risks, players don't want to take risks, so the game becomes a lot cagier. But, yeah, look, we're going into the game on Friday, and that's our focus, with full confidence that we can do really, really well.
And really exciting for the fans as well, maybe those who are travelling or those who are coming on Monday or the remaining home game.
Yeah, and I appreciate there's probably been some anxiety from the kind of external noise, which I completely get, and, you know, I'm completely understanding of that. But I keep saying they've got to try and enjoy these moments because we've given ourselves a real opportunity of achieving something really, really special. And as much as they can, which I know is a really difficult, it's a difficult situation. It's much easier for me in terms of sat in this position to say, you know, just enjoy the next four games. But one thing that they can be rest assured about, we'll be organised, we'll be planned, we'll be prepared, and they've got a group of players, this fan base, they've got a group of players that really care about the football club.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Cheers, thank you.
All the best Saturday.
Cheers.
Friday. And Saturday. Whatever you're doing Saturday. Sunday and Monday, as well. All of the day.
Just all the best.
Just generally.
Do you have a trouble knowing what day it is? The football, of course, is different because of the Easter weekend, which is clearly throwing me as well. Kick-off is at 3 o'clock tomorrow, Good Friday, League One. Bolton Wanderers against Wickham Wanderers. Hopefully the club, the team have certainly got there. They're due to get there at 8 o'clock, so it's any minute now. The team coach will be pulling into their hotel. Then home against Charlton Athletic, again at 3 o'clock kickoff. That game is on Easter Monday. It's a tight turnaround, isn't it? Has that been mentioned at all? I think it might well have done. And then, so we've only got four fixtures left in the season. Just two more after that. April campaign concludes away at Leyton Orient. It's a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, the 26th of April, and then the regular season finishes at home to Stockport on the 3rd of May. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Remember, 3 o'clock kickoffs, they're good on a Saturday, aren't they? There might be playoff games, or there might be automatic promotion to be celebrating after the 3rd of May. You'll keep listening to the Wickham Wanderers show because we'll be bringing you some top chats with some of the names who are involved in that, and keep following, of course, Wickham Wanderers on the website. Full live commentary here on Wickham Sound on 106.6 FM. As they kick off, it's at 3 o'clock on Good Friday for the trip to Bolton, if you're not going, and then Charlton at 3 o'clock on Easter Monday.